Hey, y'all. My name is Ann Wyatt. I started my career in workforce development with the state of Kentucky in 2010. That experience ignited a deep passion for manufacturing within me. I started this show hoping to raise more awareness around the bright outlook manufacturing careers have. Join me as I sit down with some of the manufacturing industry's most successful change makers and learn how they're partnering people with technology. It's time to give people more meaningful work. This is Workforce 4.0. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Workforce 4.0. I'm really excited to be sitting down with Allison Danielson this week. Allison is the CEO of Tallow, and it is a really cool and very unique platform for job seekers and especially students, and matching them with career opportunities based on their interest and their experience. Allison, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Excellent. Yes. I had to stalk your booth at IMTS when I was there because I saw that you guys were exhibiting and I looked up Tallow, the platform. And as a recruiter, I just thought, oh, this is really cool. This is very unique. The data structure is very unique and how you're getting the insights is very unique. And I thought that, wow, this would be a really awesome company and person to connect with. It was fun meeting your team at IMTS. They were a great crew.
Great. Yeah, we were really excited to be at the conference. We had a great experience. We came on behalf of our partners at SME, and we actually were able to sign up 1,000 young people at the conference on the spot for Tallow accounts and multiple employers so that they could keep the conversation going after that event.
I love that. Yeah, it was a really cool experience. I looked at the platform and it works a lot like social media, and that was really cool as well. Very fresh. Indeed, ZipRecruiter, if you're paying attention, we want fresh. We want easy to use, right?
And yeah, I think those things. We focus on early talent, which we define as 13 to 30, and they demand fresh. Like that's one of those things that if we're going to actually make a match and help people think about their future opportunities, we need to have a product that engages them. And they have expectations from platforms like TikTok and other social media that they're on and other tools that are really good outside of the workforce and education space. And so we're trying to really figure out how do we make that same kind of engagement happen in such an important part of your life.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just so natural for them. But before we get into that, I want to dive so much more into that later in the conversation. We're already dropping major gems here today. But for those that may not be aware of Tallow or yourself, you want to give us a quick introduction?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been at Tallow since the beginning of this year, and I joined after spending about 5 years at the College Board, which is a national nonprofit, building out career navigation and education tools that reach more than 15 million people. And before that, I spent more than 10 years in the for-profit sector, managing large teams of more than 3,000 people, helping scale corporate trainings and a lot of different initiatives. And I realized from that experience how difficult it is to actually find the right talent. And working on the other side, helping people explore their opportunities, it was clear how hard it is to make a choice about your future and really get information that was honest and accurate and helped you make all of the decisions along your career path. And the missing piece for me was really having the employer present in the conversation early. And so I was excited to come to Tallow because this is a place where we bring talent and opportunity closer together. And for us, that's actually having an online two-sided marketplace where early talent, 13 to 30, can explore and discover careers. They can learn and earn credentials of value, and ultimately they can get a job. And then actual talent seekers, employers, can find the right fit for their open positions and people who are going to have the right skill set, people are going to stay at their company, move up at their company, and ultimately grow over time. And that's a really hard set of work, but incredibly important. So that's why Tallow exists. And I'm here really to advance it. Tallow's been around for more than 10 years, and I was excited about the potential of this platform and meeting the moment where young people actually need guidance more than ever in a sea of misinformation about their potential options.
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. And I was at IMTS and I did a panel on job descriptions and how we can create job descriptions to attract the next generation of workforce. Now, as a recruiter, and I have to be very honest here, I don't use job descriptions much. It's very brief. I'll send you over a copy of the job description. This is generally after I've already tracked somebody down, after I've already had the initial conversation with them, and after I've cross-examined their experience with what the client is looking for. But it is because it is a direct symptom of having job boards and these lengthy job descriptions, and just like, you really have to talk to people and understand their experience, and then you have to really pitch them the job nowadays. So that's another really exciting thing that I wanted to learn more about that you guys are doing in simplifying job descriptions and doing a better job with identifying the talent skills as well.
Yeah, we're really starting with understanding our users. So we have nearly 2 million registered users on our platform, and we are focused on ensuring active engagement on the platform and making sure we're then personalizing the experience to somebody's interests. They can take an assessment and learn more about their potential work styles and match those to a variety of career opportunities. We're working on helping people assess their skill sets and see how those match job descriptions. We want to curate information for people and help that actually be relevant for their experience. And then we're also undertaking work to figure out how we actually highlight the most important pieces of a job description so that a young person can understand that and appropriately evaluate their fit for that job. One thing we've seen from our research is that many young people go onto job boards and they leave quickly. They don't know how to understand that information. And the other thing that's happening, and I've experienced this as a hiring manager, is that all of a sudden, the number of applications are through the roof, and the actual match of those applications to job openings is really strong because of the AI application tools that are out there. And so it's becoming increasingly difficult to evaluate candidates up front. And it's really hard for candidates to actually understand which opportunities are a good fit for them. So much of our work is really cutting through that noise and helping people find the right fit.
You see me shake my head. I'm just like, habeas corpus, like just show me the person, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But if you can get that kind of identity on somebody digitally, that's amazing. You're like, young people jump up job boards so quickly. Same fam, same. So making it fun is really the key there, I think. That's awesome. What's the assessments? What is your most popular interest among the younger crowd?
Yeah, it's a good question. We observe this all the time. It's really in the healthcare field is the strongest place that we see interest, but we also do so much engagement directly with organizations like SME and other folks around manufacturing. We've got a more than 8-year partnership in the state of South Carolina with SC Future Makers. That's a branch of the Manufacturing Association. And because of the rich information on manufacturing on the platform, we actually see manufacturing as a really strong interest type that our users have, which we think is really important because we know the need is great there. We also know the jobs are really good and the awareness and understanding of those opportunities is really low. So I think both in healthcare and manufacturing, we see strong interest, and we have a priority to make sure people understand the good pathways to opportunities. So we're excited to see that kind of interest.
That's really awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Interesting. I would not have pegged healthcare. I would have thought communications or media. I'm optimistic that the younger generations will have a little bit more thoughtfulness. Not to say that everyone went to college and got a liberal arts degree, but I did.
Yeah. And I do think the next generation is thoughtful. I also think they're very different. And that's one of the reasons why we want to make sure our tools are relevant for them. Their work values are different. I think one thing we understand about them more generally is that they want to solve problems in the world. And so something like healthcare, especially having now lived through a pandemic, is an immediate and clear need for more support, better resources, better tools, and better people in those jobs. And so young people know that healthcare is an option for them, but they also see it as a path to actually do good in the world. I think there's a lot of opportunities in manufacturing that similarly can accelerate progress. And I think we also do see young people interested in things like entrepreneurship at a rate that's much higher than previous generations. Many of them want to own their own business. They want to start a business. They really want to touch a variety of things, but focused on trying to make the world a better place and actually solving a problem.
I love that. Those kids, they just make me so happy with that. I love that. Very cool. That's interesting. I got a tradition here at Workforce 4.0. We've got to go ahead and check this question off the list. And I want to know a little bit more about yourself, Allison, but you got to tell me, I love doing karaoke and I love music. So I'm like the shower singer, the carpool karaoke. Yes. Check me off for all of that. I'm frequently known for doing concerts in my living room. But if we were hanging out, just the two of us, I feel like we should, by the way.
Yeah, I think so.
Totally. What karaoke song are you singing? Or what's your favorite song?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. So I love music too. And some of my favorite music is punk and indie and rock and different things like that. And I don't do karaoke in public all that much because my voice is terrible. Like my husband says that it sounds like angels are crying when I sing. So it's not something that I do a lot. However, I was most recently on a karaoke stage doing backup for a friend who was doing Salt-N-Pepa's Shoop. That was a super fun karaoke song, a lot of engagement from the crowd. And I think obviously a place where you need your girls with you on stage. So I love good 90s rap, R&B, hip hop, all of that stuff as well. And so it's really fun to do those kinds of things.
That is fun. That is fun. I feel like we have a lot of the same like musical, maybe you could have a lot of the same musical interest.
We should do another podcast about music because that would be super
fun. We should. And we should go to a concert.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Do you like Rainbow Kitten Surprise?
I don't know Rainbow Kitten Surprise. Now I'm writing it down though.
Surprise. Yes. 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 I'll save that. I'll put that in the queue for after this conversation.
Great.
But definitely check them out. So I know you said Tallow's been around for 10 years now. Right. So what was the basic principle around the creation of this platform? Because it looks a lot more progressive than job boards 10 years ago to me.
And I think it's always been trying to solve the next big problem that we know is coming that continues to get closer, which is this skills gap that exists. More than 10 years ago, Tallow was founded with the idea that young people should be seen for all of their talents. And really the inspiration was recruitment of high school students for college sports. And so in that process, they are discovered by coaches. They are really coached through the entire process. They ultimately land in a place where hopefully they thrive through this evaluation experience. And the idea from the founder, Casey Welch, was we should do this for more people and for more places where people bring talent to the table. What if manufacturing employers were your college sports recruiters? What if you could see young people for all of the things that they bring to the table and they could be discovered early and actually have that coaching experience to land in the right place long-term? Because we do see a lot of people, I know you mentioned not everybody has a liberal arts college degree, but a lot of people have a college degree that doesn't feel like it's directly appropriate for the career they're in. And many people pursue an educational pathway that doesn't align to the thing that they need to be ready for. So we do know starting early is really important and really having this individualized approach where we recognize the skills and assets people have and work from there instead of waiting to the last minute, having to redirect, trying to do what is often for employers like a just-in-time recruitment approach. We know this is the long game. So that was the initial idea behind Tallow. Over time, given the way the work has expanded and the reach to nearly 2 million young people, we've really put an emphasis on active use and have really put job placement as the outcome that we're trying to drive towards. That's really our current priority right now. And our product investment is how do we make sure we're understanding where people are, we're personalizing that pathway for them, we're making sure we have engaging tools, and ultimately that helps them get the job so they actually build a better life right? That's the goal that we're on track for. And so what started as largely was like awareness and early awareness of these opportunities and resources for navigation, we're transforming into something that closes the loop and connects the employer more directly into the process.
Yeah, those are all really important things. Some of the best advice I ever received as a recruiter was about 8 years ago or so, but it was that you should reimagine your role from being a recruiter, a headhunter, whatever you want to refer to the term, as a talent agent. You are an agent.
Yep. That's
of
amazing.
Talent. And the sooner that you can do that, and the sooner that you can piece together a good candidate experience, the better you will be in the future of recruitment. And I think that's really that college approach, identifying those skills. But I don't know that younger people, do you think they know that they have skills sometimes?
I don't think they do. And if they know that they have skills, I don't think they understand how those skills translate to the workforce. And I think we also have a challenge as hiring managers and recruiters and other folks in the space, even articulating the skills that we need and what those look like. What are the competencies? What are all of these pieces? So I do think young people don't always know the things that they bring to the table. They don't know then what's in reach for them if they were to get more education and training, and they don't even know what that would ultimately do for them in terms of job placement. And so I think for us, really figuring out how we navigate what is, you know, today a relatively broken system in terms of recruitment and job placement, to getting people to cut through that noise and understanding what they actually bring to the table. But I definitely think we see people who don't see their skill sets and don't understand how that translates. I think that's especially true for durable skills. Like people don't understand, and we hear this from employers, that it's like the top thing that they're looking for. They're looking for people who can communicate. They're looking for people who can work within a team, all of those different things. And young people don't always know that, in fact, many of these skills they pick up at summer jobs that they had, or they pick up while they're playing sports, and they pick up while they're in different group work classes and things like that. And they don't understand how relevant that is for the future workforce. So we want to make sure we're providing ways for people to actually assess where they are today and connect that to the potential opportunity. But I think you're right that people do not always see what they bring to the table. And then it's very hard to coach them on what they need to do next to be ready for that long-term opportunity.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, I think about like small, medium enterprises, manufacturing companies, and I'm thinking about like their leadership teams by and large, and the access to talent development tools that they may or may not have, and how I don't think that they know either. I don't think they know how to do that in a lot of cases. And I think that's super critical.
I totally agree. And this is one of those places where it's going to take a lot of organizations working together to help us get to a different place. And I don't think that this is a manufacturing only problem. I think we are moving into a world where skills-based hiring is a requirement. It's not going to be a nice to have, because we're going to need individuals who don't have a college degree to do the work. But we are going to need them to have different skills than they have today, right? We both have a smaller workforce and a workforce that doesn't have the right set of skills to actually take on the future work. And so we're going to have to figure out how we identify those things, what's the right language, and then ultimately, what's the right matching, and how does that connect to training and education that's so critical in actually bridging that gap. One of the partnerships we have is with an organization called Opportunity at Work. And they have a tear the paper ceiling campaign that is really about seeing what they call stars. So folks who are skilled through alternative routes for the talent, skills, and assets that they bring to the table, and not just looking at something like a 4-year degree as an indication of potential readiness. And so we were really excited to sign on to the Tear the Paper Ceiling campaign and to do work with them, because they are really leading a lot of work to evolve organizations to skills-based hiring and thinking about how do you describe that? What are the tools that need to be in place? And as we can move organizations there, we then believe it's going to be easier, obviously, to make that connection and provide the young person guidance so they can actually be ready.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes, that's cool.
Yes.
That's very
it's cool. Really incredible work.
I love that. That's the talent pool is small as is. And that is why I'm beating the bushes and advocating. That's the whole point of this show, is to really advocate for the manufacturing sector and for talent and claim talent and yep. say, we want you here. That's really my passion for behind doing the show. Have you had any success at Tallow, or has Tallow had any success? What's been a key to that success in connecting that next gen talent to the manufacturing industry specifically?
Yeah, I think we have had success. Like our relationship over 8 years in South Carolina, we've had more than 120,000 connections made in the state from talent to opportunity. And we've done that in specific situations, like helping BMW recruit for an apprenticeship program that we have. And then we've also helped it more broadly, where we work with the career coaches in the state to ensure that folks in high school actually are taking assessments and making plans for their future path. I think one misconception out there that we struggle with is a lot of manufacturing employers or industry associations are so passionate about the work that needs to be done and the awareness about manufacturing opportunities. They're really high quality. They lead to actual career paths. They are different than the manufacturing that you might have known from the past. They are growing. Right. They're growing in places that you don't expect. But in order to get somebody interested in something new and different, you often have to engage them in a broad way across their career. Most of us didn't think we would be in the job that we're in today when we were 17, right? Our career path evolved into something totally different. And we might have had a lot of different interests at some time. When I was a senior in high school, I was going to be a painter and a professional bowler. And I am neither of those things today, but I certainly still do both in my free time. And young people are not all that different in terms of the interests that they have. And if they aren't aware of manufacturing opportunities from the beginning, because they are different, they're in different places, they're totally different kinds of work as technology evolves, they're not going to start in exploration of manufacturing. And then the advisors in their lives, those adults, those caring adults, also aren't aware oftentimes that the manufacturing industry has evolved. And so they're not going to point people to resources that are manufacturing only. So the misconception and the place that I think Tallow has been effective here is actually offering exploration and resources across all industries and across all occupations, with the idea that we can serve up a meaningful match because we're capturing all of your potential interests. And I do see that there are solutions that are really focused on manufacturing that we want to introduce to people later, high quality training programs and other things like that. But we're not going to get educators and parents to start on a manufacturing site if they have no idea that these opportunities actually exist. So for us, I think that's a differentiator in a place where I hope the industry is really thoughtful. How do you take somebody who's interested in graphic design and let them know that Kia has graphic design roles, right? How do you help them understand how these skill sets really cross a bunch of different occupations and industries? And it's not obvious to people how that happens. And if we don't show them all of these potential career pathways, we won't have the opportunity to let them know what could be a good fit and a good opportunity for them.
Exactly. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions that I had when I was that age, was thinking back and thinking about manufacturing as a job and not a sector.
Yep.
And really understanding the difference between the two.
And you don't know a lot about the world of work, right? And young people today are, the numbers are starting to shift, but they on average have fewer jobs in high school than you or I did. They have fewer work experiences, and the world is transforming so quickly. The way the technology is advancing, and then therefore the manufacturing work that needs to happen to meet that moment, is so different that I don't know that we could expect a teacher, a young person, a parent to stay up to date on what's happening in the field to then guide somebody to this as a high quality opportunity. Entire regions are changing, right? Look at Ohio and the Silicon Heartland and all of the work that is going to be coming into there. I don't think most people think about Ohio as a state that they should be moving to for high quality career pathways, when in fact, in the next few years, it will be a destination for good employment.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, Ohio, Kentucky, Memphis, both of those locations just got are probably still building the battery. Yeah.
Exactly. All the CHIPS work that's being done. And then, of course, we see all the transformations in states like South Carolina. That's why we started there more than 8 years ago, was that they had a lot of manufacturing facilities coming into the state and they didn't have a workforce that was quite ready for what was coming. But it was a lot of good jobs. And we have seen them do an incredible amount of work to really evolve what the living situation is and the opportunities are in the state of South Carolina over the last several years. And really having that economic engine of good employment matched to available and ready talent is so critical to that. We see lots of other states doing the same thing. I know Alabama is close to your heart. Mississippi is a place where we see a lot of evolution. There's certainly so much happening out there. And I don't think that you would ask the average 17-year-old if they could move to any of those places and they could have a six-figure job after a short amount of training. I think they would tell you that wouldn't happen in these places, when in fact we see that happening there more than almost anywhere else.
Yeah, I've got one of my, of course, I've got one nephew pre-med at Auburn, and then I've got another one that is graduating this year, and I think he wants to go into veterinary medicine, and he's going to Auburn. But I have one that graduated and went to work at Mazda Toyota. And he is just like cut and dry. He's I'm here for the I'm here for the money.
Yeah.
I'm here to have a good career and make money and move out of the house. Had a lot of fun. He gets to inspect cars.
That's great.
Like drive off the line, he gets to be one of the very first people that drives a car.
That's great. And a lot of young people are money motivated. We actually see they're also motivated by flexibility, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different than generations before them, but money still matters. And the economic conditions out there right now are not great for early talent. Like, I've read some reports that say early talent right now are experiencing the effects of a recession, essentially, because of the amount of available opportunities to the people who are in the workforce, and they're competing against people who've been there for a long time. So it's a tough space. And we also know that parents want their kids out of their basements. So we've got a multitude of factors here that make income a priority for many young people, and they're struggling to figure out where to get it. And we know well that manufacturing is actually a high quality pathway to do that. And in fact, the cost of the education to get there in many cases is lower than taking a different kind of four-year pathway.
What would you say to some of the smaller companies and maybe more legacy companies out there that have that whole argument of no one wants to make our product, or not the kids today, they're not interested in this type of work?
I think kids today don't know that this type of work exists. And so what I would say to those employers, especially small businesses, is that they need to work on awareness early. From our research, we've seen that 77% of young people would be more likely to work for a company if they learned about them in 9th or 10th grade. And I don't know a lot of organizations that are out there providing high quality work-based learning activities, awareness and exposure activities, and then clarity about what it takes to ultimately get that job. And I think if we don't close that awareness gap, you're not going to have somebody who takes the right steps to get the skills training to be ready for those opportunities. And so that, I think, is probably the biggest piece of advice that I would give to those organizations, is look earlier, start earlier, and make sure folks are aware of the pathways that you have.
I love that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I have one more question for you, if you have time.
Yep.
But I wanted to touch a little bit more on the importance of relevant workforce data.
Okay.
And I've worked in workforce development, and I've studied the workforce data of BLS and ONET and all of these things. And it's, if I had a choice between spending 2 hours on Indeed and spending 2 hours on the BLS website, I would probably choose Indeed. Right. Yeah, it's just a lot of information. But more importantly, I don't think that people really realize, because we have the jobs report drop every Friday, and like, it's a whole thing. Unemployment numbers usually drop on Thursday, the weekly rates for those and all of that. But sometimes I don't think that people are necessarily aware that data is not always immediate data. And the reason it's good data,
of course,
it's not that it's not good data, but the reporting is set up and they have to report. And that's why it is good data. What you're getting is good data, but they have to report like quarterly. They don't have to report every single week, right? But your platform doesn't necessarily rely on government. And I thought that was really unique and interesting.
Yeah, and that was a real priority after I joined, was to figure out how we could get the most up-to-date labor market information so that people could actually make the high-quality choices that we're talking about here. And so we have a partnership with Lightcast, where they scrape the web and get millions of data points every single day that actively feed the platform. And that those data points are based on actual job postings, and they're based on employer activity, and they're based on what they're seeing right now in the labor market. And we've got 1,800 occupations on our platform, which is nearly double what Onet has. The work that BLS and Onet do is absolutely incredible, right? It's necessary, but it is insufficient. And so how do we show people all of the occupations? Like today, product manager is not a job on Onet, when in fact it's really an in-demand opportunity out there in the world. And so we want to make sure young people know that that's a job that's available to them. We want them to be able to connect not just the occupations to a pathway, but also see how all of their skills and different potential occupations connect to each other. And so the other part of our partnership with Lightcast is actually showing their skills connection. So you could see a career that would be before a career that you're looking at. You could see a career that you could take after a career that you're looking at. And all of that is from the dynamic data that Lightcast provides to us. And as I said, it's updated every single day. So our new Career Navigator tool is completely free. So you can come onto Tallo.com and you can create an account and you can do this exploration and see all of these career pathways and opportunities available to you without needing to go into some of these government sites that maybe aren't as intuitive and maybe don't have the most up-to-date information. This is a resource that we want to make sure everybody has access to, because we think it's so critical to really fill that awareness gap.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. Does that platform, just out of curiosity, does it have any way to analyze that job role? Sometimes job roles evolve. So really, they're going to be different titles at different points in the job evolution life cycle.
Yeah.
We'll say, does it have a way to determine what maybe this role looked like 20 years ago to versus now?
That's some of the analysis that Lightcast does, because they certainly look closely at the government data and look at historical information so that we can draw conclusions about what we understand about the labor market. And they're also really interested in making sure that they understand all of the associated job titles to an occupation. So one of the things that is available is also to show somebody, if they're looking at a particular career, this is what it could be called if you're looking at a job description, which you could also find in our platform. You could search the jobs, but these are the different ways people talk about this occupation. And that's a big part of the work that Lightcast does, is really taking what is a really complex set of information and simplifying it. And what we've done is to take that data and make it user-friendly and make it relevant for individuals to get that personalized path and match.
I love that. Yeah. Can you imagine being somebody of the Gen Z genre and getting on Onet and looking for a role, and then it comes up like it matches with something you've never even heard? This happens all the time. This is like a normal day.
Yes, it is.
And then you're like, clicking on all the different links. And then in some cases, you almost even have to pull up BLS, cross-examine the role with the industry sector code to make sure that you're getting the right information. I'm not doing that at 18. Like, I have things.
No.
I have other things to do. I want to be on the TikTok.
Yeah. You're going to be an influencer, right? That might be the career path you're after. And certainly influencer is not in Onet as a career opportunity that you could search. Young people are making money doing things like that. I agree with you. I don't think these are the places, not only young people, but also educators who are so busy. Parents are the number one influence on young people in this process. They don't have the time to do this kind of exploration. And again, the world is changing much faster than we actually realize, because when we look at these sites, it feels like the change is happening more slowly, when we know in reality, we get an investment, a factory is built, jobs are created. You need to create new training for those jobs. Technology evolves. This is a rapidly changing environment, and we need tools and information that actually represent that. And we need that information to be served up in a user-friendly way so that people can actually do that exploration more easily and understand the right option for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. If you've ever not, I don't imagine many people would do that, but if you've done that or you've had to do it, or maybe you've nerded out on labor market information, well, I'm asking for a friend.
Of course.
But yeah, it would be a lot more helpful for sure. And I love that. I love that about the platform, and I love that you guys have launched that new tool. So had to ask about it.
Yeah, no, we're very excited about it. And we think it's different in a world where, in fact, there are a lot of tools out there to do this work. They're not all utilized effectively, but there are a lot of resources. And yet we find young people want more exploration than they have. That's something we found out at the College Board through our research. I know our partners at American Student Assistance are constantly doing work to understand young people's awareness and opportunities for career exposure, exploration, readiness, preparation. And we keep finding gaps. So we're putting tools into the market, and yet we're still seeing persistent problems. And so we need to do something a little bit different. That was why we decided to make this investment.
I love that so much. Allison, this has been such a fun conversation. Thank you so much for being on the show today. If there's folks out in the audience that are listening or watching the show today, what is a good point of contact for you?
Yeah, I think would love for them to actually just go to tallo.com. There is a way for them to send us a message on that platform, and we will certainly follow back up with them. They can also reach me on LinkedIn. I would be happy to make a connection there and start a conversation, but would really love to make sure we're seeing all the possibilities that are out there and leveraging the digital technology that we're building and the reach that we have to make sure people are aware of the opportunities. So if folks have recommendations, ideas, thoughts for us, I think we'd absolutely welcome that.
I love that. I love that so much. Allison, thank you so much for being here with us today. For everyone listening out there to Workforce 4.0, I'm your host, Ann Wyatt. It's been so fun, and we will see you all next week.
Thank you.